This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. Shiite Muslims are preparing to take power if they can in Iraq's elections. Elections for a National Assembly are scheduled for the end of January. The Shia outnumber Sunni Arabs or ethnic Kurds, the other large two groups in Iraq. Their leaders expect to inherit power in a country where they've long been repressed. And that includes Islamic fundamentalist leaders among the Shia, as NPR's Emily Harris reports from Baghdad.
Professor Ali Abdul Amir plants himself in front of a couple dozen young men gathered in a long, narrow classroom in a Baghdad neighborhood along the Tigris River. He holds papers in one hand, a whiteboard marker in another, and grills his students on election fundamentals. How can I tell voters to vote for me, he asks. Can I say, hey guys, vote for me, so I can have power and influence? From the back, a student says, no. You need a political speech reflecting a political program that will benefit the people, says the student. Exactly right, replies the teacher. This is the nuts and bolts of what is likely to become a powerful political machine in Iraq. The classes are run by one of Iraq's strongest Shia political parties, the Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution in Iraq, or SCIRI. Majid al-Khafaji is a SCIRI official who organizes the sessions.
The project of democracy is not clear to the Iraqi people, and for us this is the only opportunity to teach the Iraqi people how to give their opinions in a free way.
SCIRI pushes democracy, knowing Shia are a majority in Iraq. The group's leader, Abdul Aziz al-Hakim, has expressed the hope that voters, over time, will choose an Islamist government. That's a worry of many secular Shia. Hussein al-Musawi of the nascent Shia Political Council is one of them. But for now, at least, he keeps quiet about his private worry that a fundamentalist Shia government will rule Iraq.
The most important thing for the Shia is that they would earn their rights, their normal rights in their country, and would not be second-class citizens as they were in the past.
Shia Muslims were brutally persecuted under Saddam Hussein and fought back with a limited guerrilla war. When Saddam fell, SCIRI and another prominent Shia party, Dawah, accepted seats on the U.S.-appointed governing council. Ibrahim al-Jafari, the head of Dawah and currently one of Iraq's deputy presidents, says his party is in talks with representatives of all interests in Iraq to form a unified slate of candidates for January elections.
Theoretically, we're seeking to create the best election model so that the process is fair for the Iraqi people and the various ethnic groups in Iraq, from the non-Muslims to the Sunnis to the Shiites and Arabs, to the Kurds, Turkmen, Kildan, and the others.
That hasn't happened yet. If it does, Ghassan al-Attiyah doubts it will work for long.
They don't trust each other. It's a marriage of convenience, just temporary. It is like buying something. Its validity could be a few months and expire, and they go back to quarreling themselves.
The wild card in Shia politics remains Muqtada al-Sadr, the young cleric whose Mehdi militia has repeatedly fought U.S. troops. Atiyah says mainstream Shia parties want to bring Sadr into the fold because he's popular, but he may also be too different.
Muqtada al-Sadr was able to catch the imagination of the poor Shia, the middle-class Shia are not supporting him, the educated are not supporting him, the poor, and he hates Kiri because Kiri took stand against his father, so there's a personal animosity as well.
Sadr's father was a leading Shia cleric who was later killed by Saddam. Yesterday, Sadr's fighters began to turn in weapons to Iraqi police as part of a peace agreement reached over the weekend. At this point, Sadr has rejected participating in January's elections, dismissing them as too American. He has been known to change his mind. Emily Harris, NPR News, Baghdad.